Where's the witnesses? Yaqub Johan, Muhammad Shabir Parak. Yaqub Johan, has Fatima Ibrahim Parak given a consent to give her in marriage to Yunus Sultan for a mehr of jewelry to the value of 12,000? Oh no, sorry, Ibrahim Ismail Parak is there. She gave her ijazah. Yaqub and Muhammad Shabir, you all are witnesses to this consent. Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أرسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصهما فإنه لا يضر إلا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم النكاح من سنتي وقد قال فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام By Yunus Sultan Sahib, in the presence of all those who are present here as witnesses, on this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah, I declare Fatima Ibrahim Parak married to you for a mehr of jewelry to the value of 12,000 rands. Do you accept Fatima in your marriage as your wife? You have accepted Fatima as my wife. Barakallahu lakuma, baraka alaykuma, wa jama'a baytuma. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم اللهم افتح لنا بالخير واختم لنا بالخير واجعل عواقب أمورنا بالخير بيدك الخير إنك على كل شيء قدير ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين وجعلنا للمتقين اماما اے اللہ اس نکاح کو تو قبول فرما میاں بیوی کے دلوں کو الفت اور محبت سے جوڑ دے ایک دوسرے کے حقوق ادا کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما دونوں خاندانوں کے آپس میں بھی محبت اور تعلق نصیب فرما ہر قسم کی آفت بلا مصیبتوں سے ان کی حفاظت فرما دین کے اوپر ان کو جمع فرما یا اللہ نیک اور صالح اولاد کے وجود میں آنے کا اس نکاح کو ذریعہ بنا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی مبارک سنت کو سنت کے مطابق سارے عالم کے اندر مسلمانوں کو ادا کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما ان اللہ و ملائکتہ یصلون علی النبی يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله. ما شاء الله بك المبارك لكم بسم الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: النكاح من سنتي. وقد قال: فمن رغب عن سنتي فليس مني، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers and our sisters who listen, our receivers. Once again, the occasion of nikah. So as is customary in this masjid, that generally we speak something about nikah if it is the occasion of nikah. Of course, we cannot discuss all aspects of nikah, all aspects of rights of husbands, rights of wives, NP643 BMW, you're blocking the driveway of somebody's entrance. NP643, please go and remove your car. So we cannot discuss all aspects of nikah, rights, etc. We can just touch on some aspect or the other, and that too very, very briefly in the very limited time that we have. So we have been discussing many issues over the past. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is reported to have said, An-nikahu min sunnati. And this is something that little children too who attend nikahs, listening to it over a period of time, they have by-hearted and memorized. An-nikahu min sunnati. In another hadith sharif also a section that's mentioned, فَمَنْ رَغِبَ عَنْ سُنَّتِي فَلَيْسَ مِنِّي. And the person who shows disinclination towards this nikah, the person does not seem to show any kind of interest in nikah. Now we are talking about Muslims, we are talking about those whom Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has given physical ability, He has given them financial ability, He has given them the ability to maintain wife, children. Allah ta'ala has given them the capacity to do so. And the person is also fit, young, or even if he is not very young, but he is fit, then he must make nikah. And especially if the person's passions and evil desires are engulfing him, and there is a danger of the person falling into the trap of zina, of fornication, then it becomes wajib upon such a person to undertake this marriage. If the person's passions are under control, but he has these capacities and these capabilities, then it becomes sunnat-e-muakkada for this person to marry. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam emphasized upon this sunnah so much that he mentioned that it was the sunnah of all the anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam. Four things have been declared as the sunnah of all the nabis. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said the four things are: firstly, al-nikah. Marriage, all anbiya alayhimus salatu wasalam who came to this world, they undertook this sunnah of marriage. Except Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. However, Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he too, when he will return to this world, then he will make nikah. And it is reported in the Ahadith sayings of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that he will even have children. After he marries, his wife will give birth to children. So all Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, if they practiced on this sunnat of nikah, then it is a very, very clear indication, as I have mentioned on previous occasions, it's a very clear indication that this nikah does not in any way affect the spirituality of a person. In fact, it enhances it, because the person now completes the other one half of his faith. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, إِذَا تَزَوَّجَ الْعَبْدُ فَقَدْ إِسْتَكْمَلَ نِصْفَ الْإِيمَانِ فَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ فِي نِصْفِ الْبَاقِي أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ, that the person who makes nikah, he has completed half of his faith. The other half now, he must fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He must have khawf and khashiyat in his heart. He must stay away from everything that is haram and forbidden. He must fulfill the rights of people. He must make his salat. He must give his zakat. He must fast. All these things have to be done. But half of it, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, is in nikah. The reason for that is if a person has to engage and indulge in adultery or fornication, then it is such a serious crime in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that if only the proper evidence is found, and which is impossible or practically very, very difficult to find, and that is four eyewitnesses to the actual act, and in great detail, which has been mentioned in the books of jurisprudence, then the person will be even stoned to death. If he is a married person, and if he is an unmarried person, then he will get 100 lashes. Now that is how serious it is in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Look at the world, what it is facing today because of its disinclination towards nikah. The disbelievers, the kuffar, the mushrikeen, the yahood and the nasara, even if they reject this institution of marriage altogether, and they desire to live a life of promiscuity, freedom, they are unconcerned, they are just not interested in this institution of marriage, irrespective of how many illegitimate children are born, then that is good luck to them if they want to face the consequences of such kind of doings, and they are facing it. Look at the hospitals, how much they are filled with sicknesses and diseases which they cannot find any kind of solution to. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wanted to keep the community and the society safe from this kind of azab and bala. It is just a myth. It is totally unfounded. Those people who say that if a person has to engage in any kind of relationship with another woman other than his wife, then that is the cause of AIDS. They say more than one woman, that is the cause of AIDS, one of the causes. Whereas that is not the case, because look at the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhu ajmain, look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at the Anbiya of the past, so many of them. Within the Sharia limits, whatever number of wives were allowed, provided they were doing full justice to those wives. But we never heard of anything like AIDS during all those centuries. So if that was the cause of AIDS, all of them would have had AIDS, na'uzubillah. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, in this institution of nikah, he has kept that barakah, that even if the person has to have more than one wife, of course with all those conditions that go with it. Otherwise people come and ask just a straightforward question, Walana, isn't it permissible in Sharia to have more than one wife? Now that's about the only thing they know. But what about the other things that are in Sharia? So it is easy to say or just respond with a yes, it is permissible. It is not a question of permissibility, it is permissible. But how many of them are there that can really do justice to two wives or more? And even if they are able to do justice, how many wives in our country will accept? Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali was asked by a person, he says, I want to marry the second wife. How many homes must I have? Must I keep them separately, or must I keep them, can I keep them in one home? He said, then you must have three homes. He said, but two wives, why must I have three? He said, because when two of them get angry with you and take off with you and start blasting you, so at least you will have some place to go and relax your head. So permissibility is a different thing. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, all Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they married. So it did not affect their spirituality. Who could be greater than Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam after Allah Ta'ala? But did it affect his spirituality? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says that this was the sunnah of all the Anbiya. And then it was the application of itar or fragrance, miswak, and one of the things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam mentioned was haya. He says this haya, the shame, modesty, was a sunnat of all the anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam of the past. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Iza fataka al-haya faf'al ma shikta." This haya and shame and modesty is a branch of iman. Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that iman, al-iman of bid'un wa sab'una shu'ba, more than 70 branches. The highest of these branches is kalima la ilaha illallah. Wa adnaha imatatul aza'ani tariq. And the lowest of the branch is the removal of anything. The closest is that of the branches is that if you see something that will cause some kind of obstruction to any person on the way, then we remove it. Whether it's a banana peel, an orange peel, or whether it is our car that is parked in such a way that it is going to obstruct somebody, then we must remove it. A person comes for Jummah Salat, it is about time for Salat. So now he says, I'm going to miss my Jummah Salat, I can't seem to find parking anywhere around here. So there are some non-Muslim homes here, or Muslim homes, and we can see that there's no activity there, so they should be in their businesses now, so they're not going to come in the next half an hour. So he takes his car and parks it in front of somebody's driveway. That is not permissible. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says one of the branches of faith and iman is to remove obstacles. Don't create obstacles for people. Now this is something we have taken out of our dictionary. If it is a nikah occasion, then too we are inconsiderate. We are not going to realize that there are many people who have come to the masjid just for the salat. Now we are going to queue up one by one, each one is going to embrace the groom, and then embrace the father-in-law, and then embrace the brother-in-law, and then embrace the grandfather-in-law. Now in the meantime, everybody is waiting. Why? Because the groom is embracing everybody. They are wishing him well. While they are wishing him well, people are giving curses outside. This is Islam, this is the teaching of Sharia, this is the teaching of the Quran and the Sunnah. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, look at his teachings, that he didn't even emphasize on even making musafaha after nikah. There's no emphasis on it placed. If we want to make musafaha, there's no problem, but then picture where our car is. If we think that it could be obstructing somebody, then immediately after the nikah, go outside, remove the car, park it properly, and then go on with the meeting, or tell the person, I'll meet there at home. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that this is one of the branches of faith. And then Nabi alayhi salatu, this is the closest. And then he says, wal haya'u shu'batun min al-iman. This haya, it is a branch of iman, which we have discarded altogether. In our nikahs, in our walimas, look at the videoing, the photography, the intermingling, the wastage and everything that takes place. Then we say, no barakat, no barakat, no barakat. How can barakat come? Barakat can only come if we please that Allah in whose hands the barakat lies. It is Allah Ta'ala who places barakat. He sends down barakat. Now if we disobey Him, and then we want unity between husband and wife, unity. So how can unity come? Because Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is the one who unites hearts. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is told that even if you have to spend everything, ma fil ardi jamia, everything that is in the world, you would not have been able to unite the hearts of the companions of the sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. They came from different factions, from different backgrounds, from different communities, from different societies, from different tribes and different clans. And they were at loggerheads all the time. There was nothing but fighting and fighting. There were murders and killings and everything that was happening. But look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings, how they were united. How they were united. By way of example, which I have mentioned many times, that by way of example, that if there were 100,000 people in Madina Sharif, and 999,999 people, if one person had to get some kind of happiness in his life, then there were these 999,999 people that were ready to share in that joy, in that happiness. There was not one person, believe me, not one person who harbored any kind of jealousy that why did this person get this kind of happiness in his life. Not one. And if there was just one person that suffered some kind of problem, some kind of weakness, some kind of difficulty, some kind of hardship, some kind of pain, some kind of sickness, just one person. So by way of example, if there were 100,000 people, then 999,999 people shared in that sorrow, in that grief, in that pain. It doesn't mean they all went to his house, but within the heart they also felt that pain. Today around the world we can hear what is happening. Does it cause any kind of grief and pain in our hearts? So who is it that united these people so much? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that even if you had to spend everything that was in the heavens and the earth, everything in this universe, you would not have been able to unite their hearts. It is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala who put unity into their hearts, who put love into their hearts, who gave them such kind of compassion and feelings for each other. And how did that come about? It came about with the obedience to Allah ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it is Allah Ta'ala who unites the hearts. And when we are going to disobey Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then even though outwardly we don't see any kind of connection, there are lots of things outwardly we don't see any kind of connection. All our cell phones and our computers and our fax machines and all these wireless things that we talk about and read about and use, what is the outward connection? Do we see any kind of connection? If a person has to put on the television, Khudana khasta, Allah prohibit, we may wonder that can anybody ever bring a television into a masjid? We'll go to Germany and you will see it in the masjid. So if a person switches it on, the pictures will come on, the music will come on. Where did it come from? We say wireless technology. So outwardly we don't see any kind of connection, but there is a connection. Like that, the magnet, you put piece of wood in front of the magnet does not do anything to that wood. But put some metal there and it just draws it towards it. Now what is the connection? Which person can really say what is the connection? So like that, with our actions also, there is a kind of connection. That we don't see it, but good actions will bring about good reaction. And bad and evil actions will bring about a bad reaction. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala looks at our actions. So outwardly we may not see the connection, that this sin that I'm engaging in, how can this cause any kind of marital problem? But if he goes little deeper into researching that sin, then he will find that there is a connection. The person, for example, who is casting evil glances here and there, and the person who is working right next to his semi-naked secretary, and the person who is seeing all the filth on the television screen and the porn sites of the internet, and the person who goes and sits in the midst of all that nudity in the beachfront and watches baseball and other kind of games. So then he may not see the connection, but there is a connection. After that, Allah Ta'ala will take out the love of his wife from his heart, or take his love out from the heart of his wife, or some other problem will arise, and they will fight like cats and dogs until sometime it ends up in the marriage, in the divorce courts. Now we will not see the connection of these sins, but there is a definite connection. That is why Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam emphasized the lowering of gazes from haram. The time is so limited and so many things to be said. So we'll conclude, and inshallah again some other nikah takes place here, and Allah Ta'ala gives life opportunity, we'll discuss if it comes to mind. That fulfill the rights of the wives. Allah Ta'ala gave them in your marriage, they have rights over you. And if we were addressing the women folk, we'll tell them the husbands have got rights. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that if there was somebody that I could have ordered to make sajda to, it would have been the wife, make sajda to the husband. But now that is the only hadith sharif that the husbands have learned. That's the only one. If the wife asked, what did the Maulana say in the bayan? He said that if there had been anyone that I had ordered must make sajda to, I would have told the wife, make sajda to the husband. That's the only hadith sharif I learned. We didn't speak anything else about the rights of the wives, so that we won't say. So both have got rights. But obedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is something that will unite the hearts. Otherwise there's going to be no unity no matter how much we like. Or some other kinds of problems will arise. Our children will go through such kind of problems. May Allah ta'ala bless this marriage with happiness, with unity, with bliss. Allah ta'ala make it a means of pious, righteous children coming into this world and a means of unity between the families. And Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala bless all others who are married with happiness, with peace, with prosperity. And all those who have the ability to marry but are not undertaking this institution of nikah, Allah ta'ala give them the tawfiq to quickly undertake it so that they may be protected, their chastity may be protected, their gazes may be protected. May Allah remove the difficulties, hardship, pain, problem and suffering of the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and of mankind around the globe.